direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, thank you for tuning in. As we continue our study in 2 Kings chapter 5, we have left off with the point at which Elijah called Naaman and told Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and his flesh should be restored to him and it would be clean. Now, we've looked at the problem with Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man, a wealthy man, a powerful man, but he had the problem of leprosy, and nothing could overcome that problem of leprosy. He had tried everything. And in this section, Elijah has given him a simple call, but it exposes something in Naaman. Naaman had come to Elijah thinking that Elijah would heal him on Naaman's terms. He should have greeted me. Does he know who showed up at his house? So the terms of Naaman's healing were his own way, his own method, all in the way that preserves his own honor. Naaman had tried everything, and now this prophet doesn't even come out to greet me, he thinks, but he tells me to go wash in that filthy Jordan River and just dip in it to be healed? That's like telling a cancer patient who's been through chemotherapy at USC's medical center to just drink our special milk from a Washington cow and it will go away. That's totally below Naaman. Naaman is full of pride. He will have nothing of it. So think of the scenario. The unlikely answer came through a little slave girl, and now an unlikely solution is given to him that requires the total emptying of himself. His pride is totally exposed, his self-esteem attacked, and how deeply enraged and insulted Naaman is by this solution. Verse 12, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. The rivers of Damascus were powerful, flowing rivers. He expects me to go dip in that filthy Jordan. I will not stoop on my knees and go there. It's ridiculous. And that's what happens. Naaman turns around and he rages in rage. He leaves from the one who gave him the message of healing. The most powerful statement we left off with yesterday is something the servants say as Naaman storms off in rage. Notice their response. My father, if the prophets had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? That little phrase, if someone had told you to do something great, that something great in the Hebrew means something difficult to carry out. If he would have just told you to climb Mount Carmel 7 times, would you not have done it? That's not quite it. That's close. How about this? If Elijah had told you to at least try to do the work of their hard law, would you not have attempted it? But all he says to you is wash and be clean. You see, dear listener, this just showed the fundamental difference between the law and the gospel. Sinners will try anything and everything of their own might, their own works, their own law keeping, to try to cleanse themselves. Had Naaman been told to give all of his money to the poor, then come and follow, he would have. Had he been told to do anything of the works of the law, even though he couldn't do it by his own nature, he certainly would have tried that. Because then it's dependent on him. But submit to the simple message of the gospel of grace. Go wash in the Jordan and you shall be clean. That's unthinkable. Isn't this the whole message of salvation? You know, what do we as gospel preachers tell people? What do we say? We say, come to Christ and all of your other great powerful ways and everything that promises you salvation and deliverance. Listen, every other God, Every other religion in this world is wrong and condemned, and it cannot heal you. It cannot produce the forgiveness of sins. It cannot save you. And what do we say? While they rage at that response, our concern is for them, right? And what do we say to them? We point them to Bethlehem, the least of the cities. There came one not born in a king's palace, but in a stable, in a feeding trough. And he grew up in despised Nazareth, and he rode on a little donkey, and he was despised and rejected of men. And he was lifted up to a cross, and the Bible tells us over and over that message is foolishness to this world. And those who are dead in trespasses and sins, they will not receive it. They cannot receive it. But you see, it's the power of God to save us from our spiritual leprosy. Nothing makes the waters of the Jordan attractive to Naaman, and nothing makes Jesus attractive to the natural man. No matter how relevant we are, no matter how hip the church gets, people today are just as insulted and enraged by that solution of God as ever. And yet, what do we say? We know, we believe, because we know this is the power of God to save. So we say the same thing to them. Look, nothing you do can please God. All of your righteousness, all of your works, all of your life is filthy. You've sinned. You can't please God. Your life is foul before Him. But here's the simple call of God. Come to Christ. Come to the well. Come to Him. He gives living water. He will save your soul from death. Deny yourself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. But today, people are more satisfied with the law. Just tell us what to do. It's the strangest thing, I said yesterday. If I gave a list to people of how to be right with God, by nature, they're going to head out and try it. And they'll be pleased in that attempt. Doesn't matter how hard, doesn't matter what we say, they'll try. And even today in the church, you know, you have all these areas in which you do well in particular areas of your life. And in all of these areas, since those are pretty well lived in our lives, we want the preacher to be applicational and preach on that. And so we know so-and-so over there is heading down to the casino on Fridays. You need to start preaching against gambling, Pastor. We need more sermons against that. And what happens? You produce a church with a whole lot of Pharisees confident in themselves, because by nature, we love to stand on the things that we do well. And what is the message that Naaman is receiving? All of your answers have failed you. None of it heals you. You must humble yourself, beat your chest like that publican, cry out to God for mercy. And what does He do? He sends you somewhere. Go to that little insignificant Jordan and be washed. And what a simple message I herald over Abounding Grace. Come to the waters. Come to the fountain. Believe. That's what coming is. And you see, that's what happens here. Naaman confronted with the law would have worked and tried to do it. But Naaman confronted with the gospel means that if he goes down into the Jordan, he has to believe. It requires faith because there's no working. Someone else must wash him. Verse 14. So he went down. Notice that he humbled himself. He kneeled into that Jordan. And he dipped seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. What a verse, isn't it? He goes down and he comes up a new man. He is baptized into Christ. He is washed by his blood. Outwardly, I love what's said here, that his flesh became like that of a little child. If the outward sickness of leprosy represents the inward corruption of the human heart, think of what he's saying. He was washed and his heart was made new. Not by physical water, but by the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. You really get a sense of what Jesus meant when he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." In other words, there has to be a complete new birth. And the good news is that when a sinner comes to these waters, when a sinner believes in Jesus Christ, Christ stretches out his hand to receive him, and he is washed and he is cleansed. It's no surprise that in every gospel account, you know, as you go through the gospels and you study the gospels, Christ in his ministry banished the plague of leprosy in people. You know what he did in those accounts? He raised his hands and he actually did what Naaman expected Elijah to do. He did it by embracing lepers and healing them because he himself is the source of healing. You see, that's what really is being communicated here. Naaman is healed. And I want you to think about verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and he stood before him. And he said, notice the confession now. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him, but he refused. Elijah would not take the gift because Elijah did not heal Naaman. The worship and grateful response was due to Christ alone. So Naaman asks Elijah if he can take two loads of earth from Israel back to build an altar of the Lord in his land. Naaman, you see, was transformed. All of that would foreshadow that the Lord Jesus Christ would be worshipped, not on this mountain or on that mountain, but those who worship in spirit and in truth. Naaman would now live a life of thanksgiving, worshiping only the Lord, his God, in a pagan land. What a beautiful section. I want to leave you with this as something that happened in Luke chapter 17. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. The text goes on to say that only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Notice the test there. Jesus had said, go to the priest and show yourself. What did this man do? Like Naaman, he returned to the priest. Jesus is the only high priest who has the power because of his life to cleanse us. And Jesus raises the question, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, there were many in Israel in Jesus's day who did not believe in Jesus. Jesus pointed them to Naaman the Syrian and said, I say there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elijah, but only Naaman the Syrian was cleansed. You see what has to happen? Your pride has to be removed. You have to confess your sins, and Christ must be received in childlike faith. To those who've dipped in this Jordan, to those who've tasted this living water, to those who've been refreshed in this fountain, the Lord says to you today, you are washed by my blood and cleansed. And today you can go forth as a new creature, worshiping me in spirit and in truth. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.com is the website. Many resources there for you to find out who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.